Say it again. Sorry.
Rumpelstiltskin floating through the woods, stealing her babies, stealing all the goods. Great. Yeah, yeah! How's that?
Who is her?
They.
Who was they?
Yeah, sorry. Okay, we are recording.
Okay. The first person to talk loses the negotiation.
What's the negotiation about? What's something big that you feel like we would have to have, like, a really big negotiation about?
A big negotiation about... If you try to get back with your ex...
You would... What would the negotiation...
I would be like, no.
But that's not a negotiation. I'm talking, like, something we'd have to maybe kind of potentially meet halfway at. Which I guess that's a compromise, not a negotiation.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, what would your compromise be if I was trying to get back together with my ex?
If she's dead.
What?
You can get back with her. She's a corpse. If she's a corpse and comes back as a zombie and has really changed.
And has also really done the inner work.
But also the zombie part.
Is huge as well. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if we've ever had like a huge compromise moment.
No, I always get my way.
I know, I was going to say, but I'm really flexible.
Yeah.
So, with you, not with others.
So true.
Honestly, out of everybody in the world, the person I'm most flexible with is you.
Yeah, same. Like, sometimes, like, you do things that, like, if my partner did, I would be like, get out of my face.
Right, like what?
I don't know. Like, you can just pretty much say anything and, like, I won't get offended.
Yeah.
But if, like, really anyone else were to say it to me, I'd be like, not cool.
Yeah, I think same. Okay, do you want to share something?
fantastic interview style.
First of all, the intro to interview class you're taking, it's working.
Working, paying off. It is worth that $60 at the community college, okay? I don't know. Like, what?
Just... I guess I can make a quick announcement that I'm entering my first ever intentional celibacy era.
Wow.
Which I'm worried about for content.
Yeah, that I'm going to have to really step up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because I essentially met...
One of us has to be whoring around the town.
Yeah. And it certainly can't be me anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm taking myself off the streets. You suggested I should do no sex before marriage.
Yeah, I think the next person you start dating, like, you know, second date or first date, who are we kidding? You know, you're kind of walking back to your place, and then you say, by the way, just before we walk in there, I'm not going to have sex with you unless we get married.
Right.
And then they'll be like, oh my gosh, like, is it like religious or like a moral thing? And you're like, no, it's just something I'm going to try with you.
Right. Yeah.
I'm actually just looking to experiment in not having sex until we're married.
The issue, honestly, is that, like, it's never been, like, having sex too early was the issue in anything that's ever gone wrong for me. Ever. Mm. It's always been...
Having sex too late?
No, just, like, usually general personality and evil people. It's not usually...
No, sorry, it's the ghoulish figures.
The ghoulish figures, yeah. Like, if anything, sex on the first date usually helps me out if I find out quickly we're not sexually compatible.
Yeah, it sort of, like, kind of puts you on the same level, same playing field right off the bat.
Yeah.
Most people I've had sex with a couple times. Like, yeah. I've only had, like, few and far between one-night stands.
Yeah.
There's been so many people that were bad in bed that I went back for seconds for.
Really?
Of course. I honestly usually don't put it past someone when it's bad the first time.
You're right.
I'm like, ah, whatever.
But sometimes...
If I had fun, I'm like, I'm in.
If it's a, like, mechanics issue where it's like, okay, we just haven't really figured out how maybe we both work.
Ooh, okay.
No, that for me, I can get past that.
Right.
If it is a general, like, vibe. Oh, the vibe is just not right.
Yeah.
I'm never putting myself back in a position where I'm going to be naked and having bad vibes.
Because no, so true.
Naked or clothed bad vibes is already too overwhelming for me.
Right.
So, like,
right.
It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I do feel like I have had quite a few. And that's what happens. If you date and you have sex on the first date, you're going to have some really weird sex
really
sometimes.
Weird sex.
And not weird in, like,
a fun
freaky way.
Yeah.
Weird in, like, a...
Like, your energy's quite sinister way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Me and Jules have been running into some serious ghoulish figures.
Yeah.
We won't say too much, but...
I mean, I'll say the least possible.
Yeah.
Being that I had this like literally 3-day haunted period where I went on a first date with someone and
a 3-day situationship, truly.
Sure, whatever. But it like shook me. They shook me to my core so deeply that is what propelled me into my celibacy era.
Yeah.
Like so many weird things happened with that person that I was just like, I can't run the risk of meeting somebody even half as bad as you.
No.
I need to, I would rather not have sex anymore.
Ever.
And I like sex, yeah, to be clear.
Yeah.
This is a big thing for me to,
yes,
give up.
Yeah.
But you have scared me so bad that I'm going to give up one of my joys.
Yeah, right.
For a while.
One of my pastimes, my hobbies, if you,
yeah,
will.
Yeah.
Whew, yeah, for sure. Ghoulish figures are all around. And, mm-hmm, that's what we have to kind of remember and, mm-hmm, look out for.
I always assume that once we reach a certain age, most people will have, like, worked out a lot of bad,
right,
behavior things.
Right. I don't doubt that I've been a ghoulish figure in someone,
sure,
else's,
yeah,
life before. But at this point, I've been in therapy long enough to at least remove myself when I'm acting ghoulish in your life.
Yeah.
My first question for you is, do you have a fear of the week? And I guess perhaps you do.
My fear of the week is me sort of drifting into sort of like a general, I don't want to, my fear is that I'm going to slip into a headspace of like, oh, well, I'm not having sex right now because no one wants to have sex with me. And I just need to remind myself,
mm-hmm,
that I'm making an intentional choice right now. I'm just scared that rather than this stage, like, empowering me, it's gonna make me feel really shitty about myself and self-conscious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heard, yeah. I definitely use sex as a tool to feel better about myself.
Yeah.
So relatable.
And I'm always just like, I don't know, I've just never done it. Literally, dude, like, I had sex in high school and then my high school boyfriend and I broke up, and I feel like my longest stage of celibacy since I started having sex was like less than a month.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going for at least a month and a day.
Wow.
Yeah. What is your fear of the week?
My fear of the week is my loss of sanity.
Okay.
Yeah. I've just been hallucinating out the wazoo and getting like really crazy dizzy spells where I feel like I'm gonna die briefly. And I think it's the new carts I'm smoking.
You need to stop smoking the carts that you're smoking. And also,
no, how about that?
I think you need to, like, every day walk across that park one time.
That's crazy.
Because I think being inside this house, because here's what I'll say about your house. I love your house.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of objects,
mm-hmm,
and those can, I feel, maybe lead to hallucinations even.
No, I actually do agree
like,
with that.
Like, there's shit everywhere, so of course you could be like, in the, your peripheral, like, oh my god, I just saw Chucky, for example.
Yes,
yeah,
yes, for example, Chucky.
Yeah.
Totally. It definitely has to do with the not leaving the house for multiple days in a row. But I love not leaving the house for multiple days in a row. I love it so much. This is my enclosure. This is my playpen, if you will.
But it can make you feel a certain,
like, I'm hallucinating,
yeah,
for sure. That's the downside.
And the good thing,
pros, absolute playtime 24/7.
But dude,
cons, hallucinations.
Noise canceling headphones and,
right,
a hat, can your outside can be your playtime as well. I take 3-hour walks every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever talked about this on here.
Yeah, it's true.
I take long walks not for exercise, literally to feel connected to the universe. Because if I sit in my room, and I work in social media,
yeah,
so I'm sitting there editing social media all day,
yeah,
in this, like, little room, I'm going to lose my sense of reality.
For sure.
I
have lost my sense of reality.
Yeah. It literally helps. Also, if I'm ever panicking or, like, feeling really anxious about something going on in my life,
mm-hmm,
taking a long walk and just, like, noticing the people that I pass and being like, all of these people have
their own
individual
shit,
things,
yeah,
going on right now. Like, I am such a small piece in this puzzle.
Right. And also, like, looking around at people and being like, I could just infiltrate their lives and join their friend groups and families.
Oh.
And become unknown to the people that currently know me.
Yeah, that's true. How hard do you think it would be for you to, I've thought about this, your life goes to shit here, okay?
Okay.
Something happens, or maybe you need to start over.
Mm-hmm.
How hard do you think it would be for both of us to, like, you want to go somewhere where there's queer community, of course, mm-hmm. but you don't want anybody to know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, where would you go?
Anywhere. I don't know. I feel like that's not that hard.
But you have a lot, like, with people with online presences.
Right. I don't know. I've never been recognized anywhere that wasn't Brooklyn. So I feel pretty confident that I could go anywhere and be fairly anonymous.
Okay. Interesting.
I feel like there could be a chance that someone would be like, do I know you from somewhere? And I'd just be like,
no, yeah.
My name is Cindy, right, and I'm a woman.
Right.
Know me now?
What do you think know about me that? Now?
Yeah.
Cindy, oh my God.
Yeah. Wait, Becca's recognizing you for the first time right now.
It's me.
Becca's like, wait, Cindy, yes!
Yes, Cindy, yes. Hi, my name is Friday. My pronouns are they, them. Jules, what do I look like today?
You look like a character played by... What the fuck is that guy's name? Hold on. What the fuck is his name? Okay, in Forgetting...
Michael Sarah?
No, in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Jason Segel?
Jason Segel.
Jason... Okay. You look right now like a Jason... Thank you. A Jason Segel character who, like... has just gone through, very much like in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, recently gone through a breakup, kind of like trying out a different look sort of situation. Like you have like a very, very long, and I hate to say it, like, and it was definitely purchased to be like a cis woman's cardigan, but like the way you have recreated it and given it new life is really powerful. And then a shirt that says hottie and fluorescent blue pants with lime green Crocs, mm-hmm. backwards hat, and a, like, friendship necklace. Yeah. And I do feel like you look like Jason Segel.
Thank you.
In a good way. I like him.
Yeah, I like him too.
And he's always pulling the hottest bitches in that movies.
That is so true. I need to just embrace the fact that bitches... could be attracted to me in a like weird guy way.
In a way that if somebody would be attracted to Jason Segel, they'd be attracted to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Hi, my name is Jules. My pronouns are she, they. What do I look like?
You look like you are living in LA, okay. and just like decide like gave up on acting. Like you're like, I literally cannot do this.
How long have I been auditioning for?
You are your age right now, so you've been auditioning for like 8 years.
Okay, I gave it an honest try.
You gave it an honest try, and you've just quit, and you are now teaching theater.
Okay. At a school or like community theater?
Community, I would say. Okay. Or school.
Or school. Do you think I'm happy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think you end up finding a lot of fulfillment in it.
Okay, I'll take it. Thank you. How was therapy this week?
So, random thing to ask. therapy was great. Something funny happened with my therapist where we were talking about this like assignment that they want me to do. And then they were like, you know, maybe like you and Jules should do it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What was it? I'm so scared.
It's this, like, DBT workshop.
Wait, was it because of something that happened to us together or something that you, like...
I explained to them the night that we had.
Oh, okay.
But also, I talk about you all the time, so they also know your mental issues.
Right, yeah. Okay.
They're essentially your therapist, too.
Right, which I appreciate. Same. Mm-hmm. Same with mine.
Yeah. So that's what I brought for us to do today for my trickle-down therapy presentation. And also, we're eating candy right now. I'm so sorry to everyone listening in. I'm like, but sorry, girl. I just smoked a bong and, like, my throat's sore. So get over it.
Anyways,
me and Jules had a really rough night that we actually don't even want to talk about.
We can't give you any of the details, but just know it was really bad.
We both had nights that, like, I feel like really shook our confidence. Like, I feel we were both in serious distress for several days after. And, like, at, like, 7 a.m. after the night, I was, like, called Jules like 20 times until your phone started ringing and they picked up, and like I was freaking out. We talked like from the night to the morning.
I was like asleep, but but also there.
And I was also like, help, help, help.
Yeah, and I was just like,
you were being very kind. You were very helpful. So okay. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
But once speaking about this night to my therapist was like, you and Jules
should do
need to do a DBT exercise together.
Okay, let's do
it. And I was like, hilarious that you say that. I actually recently just explained the Todrick Hall EMDR session on the podcast. And I sent it to them, and they were like, love that, great. You know,
they listened to the podcast?
I don't know if they listened to it. I just sent it to
them. You sent it to them?
I told them, I was like, listen to the Todrick Hall EMDR thing. Because it's like a comedy bit about a session we had, and I thought they would find it particularly hilarious.
I bet they would like it, yeah.
You know, and also I'm just like constantly trying to like get everyone's listens up. Yeah. I was going to say everyone's approval, but I love just...
gain listenership.
Every listener counts, yes. Okay?
Yes.
Even if it's me begging my therapist to like participate in my hobbies.
Can I quickly ask a question? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know, have you seen the thing of how like the gay version of, or like the softer version of men feeling like strippers actually fall in love with them is people thinking that their therapists actually care about them and think about them throughout the week?
Oh my god, so real.
But I don't think that's true. Like, I really think my therapist does think about me.
Maybe,
but honestly,
I don't know.
Maybe I would go and, like, maybe I would go to a strip club and really think that one of the workers there would fall in love with me also.
Yeah.
I could see myself doing that.
Me too. yeah, I was talking about our absolutely haunted night, and my therapist suggested we do this exercise together.
Okay, let's do it.
So...
I'm nervous, I'll be honest.
Don't be nervous. It's literally, I'm just going to read statements and we're going to say how true it is for us.
Okay, like yes or no, or like...
I think it can be more discussion-based.
Okay, got it.
Like, I don't think it
needs to be... Because we're on a podcast.
Right.
Yes. Right. These don't all have to be yes or no questions. Got it.
You got it.
My interview class is kicking back in.
Right. Okay, so this is called Myths in the Way of Objective's Effectiveness.
Okay.
Interpersonal effectiveness is, like, feeling like you have the skills to meet your needs with the people in your life.
Cool, okay.
So it's, like, interpersonally, how, like, effective is your, like, are you, like, communicating really well? Like, how do you get your needs met by the people around you?
Okay. Yes.
Essentially. So here are myths in the way of effectiveness. How true do you believe this to be for you?
Okay.
I don't deserve to get what I want or need.
Well, it depends on what the want or need is.
Okay. So say, like, what's one that would be yes and one that would be no?
Like, for people to be kind to me and to not, like, wish me ill will, I'm like, yeah, I deserve that.
Okay.
But if it's, like, you deserve, like, a partner who will show up for you and always be honest and, like, whatever, then I'm – it's not that I think that I don't deserve it, but I genuinely am, like – like, thinking it's, like, oh, it's not gonna happen. Like, I don't know. But maybe that's not the question. Deserving of?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I...
Like, do you think you're deserving of a partner who meets your needs?
Some of them. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think I feel the same way.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm, like, I'm never expecting anyone to meet all my
needs. Right, exactly. Yeah.
If I make a request, this will show that I'm a very weak person.
Weak. For me, it would be if I make a request, this will show that I'm, like, an unaccommodating person or annoying person.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I knew that one would, like...
Well, what about you?
No, I'm good with making requests.
Yeah.
I'm good at asking for things.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that you were always, like, you would be sitting there with, like, a dry, parched mouth, like, shaking in the corner and, like, uncomfortable clothing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, like, not be able to be, like... Can I have a glass of water?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like...
Or, like, can we leave?
Yeah. No,
you
exactly.
You would never ask that. You're just like, disassociating until I'm like, it seems like you have already left, even though physically you are still here. Okay, this is so real for both of us. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that before I read it, but whatever. I have to know whether a person is going to say yes before I make a request.
Yeah.
100%. Big time.
And if there is any part of me that thinks that they could say no,
I won't ask.
I'm not going to ask. Yeah. Yeah. No. And, like, what kind of ask are you thinking of when you hear that? Like, what's your...
Okay, well, one thing that I thought of is that something you and I do is that we look at people's locations before we text them to make sure we won't be inconveniencing them.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Before I text my close personal friends, I will check their location to make sure they're not, like, at a bar. And, like, my text would be a nuisance. But if they're, like, at home, I'll send them a text.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, in the same thought of, like, leaving places if you're uncomfortable, I wouldn't say, like, hey, I want to leave, can we leave? Unless I already knew that this person wanted to leave.
Yeah. For sure, same.
Yeah.
Or, like, I struggle to, like, cancel plans unless I feel like...
They'll be happy for the cancellation.
Yeah, the second I feel them waver, I'm like, let's go.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's so true. And even if, like, my body is rejecting me going somewhere...
Yes, yeah.
I'm like, well, I guess I just have to push through it. When, like, it's not even like I'm showing up as the best version of myself anyway at that point, so it's a fucking waste of everyone's time.
If they say no, it will kill me.
Not that it will kill me. Well, it depends. Like, yeah, sometimes I don't ask questions that I don't want to know the answers to, like, especially in, like, dating situations.
Right.
Sort of, like, sometimes I feel like I literally operate on, like, a don't ask, don't tell sort of situation. Right. Like, especially in this, like, non-monogamous thing that I was in for a couple, like, whatever, months, there were so many things where, like, I think we were both operating in that way, which was so bad.
Yeah.
And it was neither of our faults. Like, we both had really bad anxiety, but it was, like, things would happen where there was information that I definitely should have known, but I think that they thought that if they told me, I would feel hurt or jealous or in some way rejected. So instead, they were just, like, withholding information, and I would kind of do the same, where it would be, like, oh, man, this doesn't feel good to me, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to risk them then being like, then we need to stop doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, risk them feeling like, oh my god, I'm so sorry I've made you feel that way. So we were both just kind of like, coasting along.
Delusions.
Not coasting, we were having a good time because we liked each other a lot, but, like, seriously, I stand by that situation. Really did show me that, like, I can do non-monogamy, and I actually kind of liked it. Like, I'm actually really thankful that for that situation, because I'm like, okay, well, now I know that, and, like, I could enter a situation like that and be okay. It was just both of us being deeply anxious people and not providing the right info. And so...
Real.
We both got hurt.
Yeah, real. Yeah, anyone out there, if you're doing non-monogamy and you're actually happy, write in. Because what the fuck? I feel like so many people are doing non-monogamy, and it's literally so hard and, like, really messed up, and people get hurt, and it's so messy, and...
Well, I think you literally have to be an expert communicator. So if it pops into your head that you want to do non-monogamy, but you're not an amazing communicator, I don't care if it takes you, like, 5 years to learn how to communicate. Stay in a monogamous relationship until you can... Well, you should stay single until you can effectively communicate.
Whatever works for you, stay that way until you learn.
But, like, that is what would be holding me back right now from getting into another non-monogamous situation. Not the jealousy of it, but, like, wow, clearly I still have a really hard time communicating things that I feel like
could
make it an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
Even if it's only uncomfortable for 5 minutes until we resolve it. Like, I was avoiding it. And also... I am such a deeply embarrassed person that in monogamous situations, I have always felt more comfortable having conversations and voicing my needs, because I felt like it's just two people in this mix. And like, there's something that is so much more community-based in non-monogamy that I kind of would feel like, oh god, like if I say something weird, this could be passed along to like this person, which I don't really even know if that is how that should work either, but like...
Right.
I don't know. Anyway.
No, totally. I really, really relate to that. Like, I thought I was an amazing communicator. Like, I started out with non-monogamy being like, I'm gonna kill this. Like, yeah. I'm gonna do non-monogamy perfectly. I'm, like, so ready to be amazing at communicating and communicate with absolutely everyone and do this so ethically. Rawr! Yeah. And, like, here I am literally with, like, a dumpster fire in front of me being like, why is it so hard? Like, I truly didn't, I knew it would be, like, work, but I just felt like I had, like, done the inner work part of it. Like, I thought it was the same thing. I thought the only thing you had to get over was jealousy. No.
Yeah.
No, it's so many check-ins, bro.
I know. Well, that's the other thing. I think it's really dangerous for people who get into non-monogamy because they just want to fuck more.
Yeah.
It's like,
That's not what it's about, and you're gonna hurt people seriously. And people do all the time. They just go around and really harm people and then go back to their safe relationship and be
Which, by the way, that's not what I'm saying happened to me. I don't have
No, not at all. I think a lot of people who are like non-monogamous just are literally running loose on the town, and then the second they hurt other people, they just like go back to their comfort relationship, usually with another person who's doing the same thing.
It scares me that something like non-monogamy is sort of like fusing lightly with Gen Z culture.
Yeah.
Because I think for whatever reason, like, and maybe I was just not spending time with people who practiced non-monogamy when I was younger, but it always felt like something I heard about like people in marriages doing more and like it being this, like, really serious thing. But now I feel like, I don't know, I saw somebody post a TikTok the other day where it was, like, a guy in Bushwick will go on, like, 2 good first dates and be like, I'm not monogamous, you know? And it's like, no.
Yeah, no, you actually have no idea, like, how to care for people in a community. Like, yeah. In that way.
And not that Gen Z can't do things well, but it's also such, like, a trend culture.
Well, also, Gen Z's just younger.
Yeah.
Literally, that's... you.
But, bro, I mean, like, there are a lot of really smart young people. Like,
that's so true.
You know, like...
Yeah. I just feel like there's an element of non-monogamy that comes with wisdom, though. That I almost feel too young. Like, I don't feel wise enough. I feel too stupid and young and dumb.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like there's just this a wisdom that comes only from time, truly. Like, time on this earth experiences. And I think people can become wise sooner if they've, like, been doing this shit, right? Or, like...
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. Having, like, a few non-monogamous experiences has really just smacked me in the face and let me realize what an idiot, buffoon child I am.
I feel like my narcissistic, though my one, I'm not very narcissistic, I usually am
dogging on myself. I'm like dogging on myself, bro.
But right now I'm like, I have that wisdom.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've tapped into it.
Yeah.
I can take on anything. Into it.
Yeah. Saying no to a request is always a selfish thing to do.
Yeah, I do feel that way.
Yeah, me too. I'm always like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless I have a really good excuse. Unless I'm like, I'm not in the state.
Yes. Oh, and doesn't that feel so good?
So
when someone asks you to do something and you're
like, oh, I want, and you can be like, I want to so bad.
But I'm like desperate to get there. Like, can I get a flight home quicker? Like,
yeah.
No, I can't. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing I love more.
Yeah.
Obviously, the problem is just in my head. If I would just think differently, I wouldn't have to bother everybody else.
Yes. I feel that way 100%. Yes. You?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, I'm just insane, bro.
Yeah, I'm always like, I could handle the situation alone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's going to be really terrible and, like, painful. I still could do it alone, and so I should do it alone.
That is how Ted is.
Yeah.
100%. It's wild. Ted literally didn't, like, was scared to ask me to help him carry his mattress up the stairs in this new apartment, so he just did it himself, and, like, our stairs are, like, really messed up and, like,
they're
twisted
steep.
And
yeah.
Turned, and he really hurt himself and then, like, couldn't lift for a day.
Aww.
And I was like, why didn't you ask me? And he was like, well, I could do it by myself. And I was
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hello?
Are we supposed to feel, like, healed by the end of this?
No.
Okay.
No, we're supposed to be worse.
Okay.
Okay. I shouldn't have to ask. They should know what I want.
I can feel this way, but sometimes it's with, like, basic needs things, though, where it's like,
mm-hmm.
But I guess sometimes you always have to ask.
Dude, I'm always saying this to Ted. I'm like, I'm in my own world so much of the time. Yeah. And that's so true of most people. Most people, it's not like I hate you and want you to, like, not, have a cup of water. They're just in their own world.
I know. And I think I come from a mindset where I'm constantly thinking about what this person around me could need next.
Yeah.
And I do struggle with that. I struggle with feeling angry when people's brains don't work the exact same way that mine does.
Yeah.
And God, I hope a lot of people's brains don't work the way that mine does. Like, I wish most of you peace. Like,
I wish most of you peace.
Yeah.
I feel like we should put that on, like, a mug.
I wish most of you peace.
Can't say all of you.
Cannot say all of you, no. Do you feel like if you have to ask for somebody to do something for you, that it makes the act of the favor less genuine?
No, I don't feel that way, but I know Ted does.
I feel that way.
Yeah. I know, because, like, you all the time don't ask for what you need, and it's because if you had to ask for it, you wouldn't want it anymore.
Yeah.
Which is toxic. Which is so interesting to me. Yeah.
It's not good.
I remember feeling that way, but I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know what changed or what part of therapy clicked, I guess, but I'm super comfortable asking for things. And then when people do them, I get, like, even more excited because I'm like, they did what I want.
Like, what's an example?
Like, if I'm like, can you get me water? Like,
okay.
Or, like,
I think I'm okay being like, hey, could you grab me a cup of water mm-hmm. if you're going to the kitchen?
No, see?
Yeah.
Like, like, even if it's totally inconvenient, like I would be comfortable being like, I literally had the worst day ever, and the only thing that's going to make it better would be Chinese food. Would you go out and grab me Chinese food?
Wow. That's so awesome.
And then if they do it, I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. But if they're like, no, I obviously understand because I, like, what I asked for.
Yeah.
Like, it was a big ask.
What about, like, an emotional thing or, like, even a sexual thing?
Okay, all right.
Because that's what I struggle with.
You got me.
No, exactly. Like, that's what I struggle with. Because I remember, like, there were things where...
But I probably wouldn't ask also. So.
Okay, can I give an example?
Yeah.
There have been times where, like, somebody is fingering me, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, there is no way in hell this is going to make me come. Mm-hmm. Like, we are losing minutes of both of our lives here. You know? Like,
oh, yeah.
And then they'll be like, what do you need to come? And I can say perfectly what the answer is, yeah. obviously. Yeah. Like, sure, like, you need to go down on me, or, like, you need mm-hmm. to do this way. But then if I say that, and then they do it, I'm thinking, like, well, if that's what they had wanted to be doing, then they would have been doing that to begin with. And now this is, like, not an enjoyable experience for them. And now I feel like shit. And now I'm certainly not coming. And then it's just like...
Okay. Okay. I guess where that sort of happens for me is that sometimes I'll get, like, turned off if someone checks in too much.
Okay. Like, how... Yeah. I get... Yeah. No, if it becomes too much of a, like...
No, like, even if it's just, like, what do you want? And then I'm like, I don't know. And if they ask again, I'm like,
ooh, okay, POV, you've been making out with someone for 5 minutes, and then they pull away and say, so what do you like?
That would be my nightmare.
That's happened to me so many times.
Yeah. So what do you like? I'm like.
And then I'll be like, and then I always say the wrong thing, which is like, I don't know. And then they're like,
no, literally, like, say like, anything.
Use your words, like, communicate. And then I'm like, I don't know. I just like whatever, like,
whatever you like,
whatever, like, you're like normal stuff. Like, I'm just like saying crazy shit,
normal things, just
nothing normal,
usual,
nothing crazy. Unless you want to do crazy, then you can do whatever the fuck you want to me. Yeah, like,
just please don't make me disappoint.
Yeah, please shut me up.
Please
shut me up. Yeah,
I don't stop yapping all damn day.
Literally, I've yapped from sunup to sundown.
Give me a break.
Stuff a fucking
I'm on vocal rest. Yeah. Actually.
What would you say, actually, if someone said that to you?
No, I never say the right thing either. I'm always like,
has
I don't know.
To you?
Of course, okay, it happens to me all the time.
You guys, please
constantly.
Stop doing that. Please stop doing that.
No, don't say that. Don't tell people to stop checking in
what
during sex.
What do you like is way too vague. You can be
you're
like,
so right.
Are you into XYZ?
Okay, thank you. That is a good take.
What do you like?
I don't know.
A delicious Italian meal?
a conversation with my mother where I don't feel like shit at the end of it? What the fuck do you mean?
Papa's cheesy good morning eggs?
That's way too fucking vague, bro.
No, you're so right.
And then it's like, and it's so vulnerable to ask that, because what if they were like, what do you like? And I was like, I really like getting whipped. And then they were like, freak. Whoa. You know, like,
yeah.
Instead, they should be like, hey, are you into whatever? I can't even think of it, but like XYZ. Mm-hmm. Let me say yes, no, yes.
Yeah, no, that's so real. Oh, that's good advice. Thank you. I'm
You're welcome.
I'm going to give that feedback to some people.
Yeah. And next time somebody says, what do you like? Say, I like when people ask me more specific questions. I like people who are better at communicating.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Real.
So. You know what I always do? What? I always go like, I like what we're doing.
Okay, yeah, me too. Like, this is
like,
good.
I'm always like, I like this.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, that's so good.
And that's
good.
Kind of also being like, don't ask again.
Yeah, don't ask. Yeah. Shut your trap.
Shut up.
Shut your pie hole, yeah. Buddy.
Zip it. Yeah.
Stop. In, like, a sexy stop asking me things. This is a questionnaire.
Feel like I'm on the fucking SAT.
What is this, the census?
The census? What?
I don't know. That's good. Valentine's Day. Let's talk about it.
Elephant in the room.
Valentine's Day. V-Day. Have you liked Valentine's Day or hated it or somewhere in between?
I have never had like a really good Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Have you?
Yeah. I had a really good Valentine's Day last year or 2 years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was, but Ted was like really stressed out at and, you know, kind of let me know like in advance, like, I'm not gonna have a lot of like capacity to like do anything special for you. And typically Ted's like a super like romantic guy and like will kind of go the extra mile and like plan something really elaborate and like do the whole thing. So he was like letting me know like for expectation reasons. And so I like surprised him, whereas when he came home, I wasn't there because he told me he was like overwhelmed and like,
oh, that's nice,
overstimulated at school. Yeah, so when he came home, there was an essential oil diffuser that I had bought him going in his room, and a bunch of chocolates and like a bath bomb and rose petals all over his bed, and then rose petals and like sea salt like already in the bath, so all he had to do was like run the bath water. And I said like in a little note, just like, text me like if and when like you want company tonight. And he was like, come over immediately. And I was like, cool, I never left. I was
yeah, I'm around the corner standing there.
I was literally sitting at a like deli,
yeah,
under his house, just like waiting for him to discover it. And it was really, really sweet, and we ended up having a really good night, and we took a bath together in his, like, tiny, tiny bath, and then just, like, went to bed early. Mm. But what it really, like, taught me and reminded me was that, like, I love, like, romantic stuff, and for, like, a long time, I felt like no one was doing, like, anything romantic for me. Yeah. Like, I just, like, wasn't being, like, treated right or, like, having that, like, special thing, and I realized that, like, I can also give that to, like, anyone I'm dating and get to feel, like, the same thing. Because, mm-hmm. like, it's, like, I still, like, created, like, a super romantic personalized night for us. And I didn't have to, like, think of it as, like, oh, and he did nothing for me. Like,
yeah,
it was just that's how I could, like, have romance in my life, even though, like, it wasn't being given to me in that
that's
moment.
That's really sweet. That sounds beautiful. Last year, I was in a long-distance relationship,
mm-hmm.
so we probably, like, had a FaceTime date. I can't remember.
probably got in a huge blowout fight. Probably got in
a, yeah, nearly relationship-ending fight. Yeah.
Definitely.
The year before that, I had just been dumped.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, like, the happiest I had ever been.
Right.
So I was doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Year before that, I was with my long-term ex-girlfriend that I used to live with. And I will say, it's fine if I say
no! No! We have a name for her.
Oh.
Lauren.
Lauren?
I think it's Lauren.
Okay, my first girlfriend, Lauren, was so romantic and, like, the first time I ever dated anyone. Honestly, kind of, I think the only time I've ever dated somebody super romantic who, like, she was the kind of person that would show up with flowers, like, 4 days out of the week for me.
Yeah.
And, like, I would wake up in the morning and she would, like, literally bring me a gourmet breakfast in bed and, like, just was always doing really, really sweet romantic shit all the time for me. So I'm sure she did something really special for me for Valentine's Day that I'm just not remembering. But but she made every day really special. Yeah. Like, for real, she did.
No, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about her, for sure.
She was great.
Is that sometimes she treated you how you deserve to be treated.
Yeah. I mean, we broke up, obviously. Yeah. But she really, like, was a big turning point in me, like, experiencing romance.
Yeah, and she was your first girlfriend, too. So, like,
yeah,
got you hooked.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I haven't experienced it again.
right.
Yeah, but sure, I guess I'm hooked. But this Valentine's Day is, like, the first one. Even the one where I had, like, just been dumped, it had been, like, a month prior, and I was, like, had been on a couple dates with someone. Mm. This is my first Valentine's Day since, like, high school, where I'm experiencing true, honest singleness. I don't have anybody I could, like, flirtily text right now or, like, you know, nothing. Literally nothing. And that feels really nice.
Mm.
I feel so not stressed and just, like, I literally don't have the ability to let anyone down. Maybe, and this is probably not, this is my anxiety showing. Like, I can't let anyone down romantically right now. There is no one. So.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's loaded.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of my fear when I'm dating someone is, like, I feel so responsible for that person's happiness and well-being that it causes me extreme stress. Mm. And right now I'm, like, the only well-being I'm responsible for right now, which it's always just mine. It's
right.
The
only one. But, yeah. No, for real.
But right now I really am feeling that, which is nice.
Oh, that's so
maybe
good.
Maybe I'll do something good for myself on that. Oh, my God. Yeah. This Valentine's Day, I am going to a 1 o'clock show on Broadway with my parents, going out to dinner with my parents, and then seeing another show at 7 p.m. with my parents. I mean, spending the entire day with them.
That's so random.
I know, it's so random, but I think it'll be really nice.
Yeah, it will be. Wait, what shows are you seeing?
We're seeing fucking Neil Diamond,
okay,
A Beautiful Noise, and then we're seeing an off-Broadway play, I can't remember the name of it, at night.
Well, I can't wait to hear all about it.
Thank you.
In our theater review section of this podcast.
Like, okay, it's not Valentine's Day. This is a normal first date.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe to me, like, the best way it can go for you?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is hard because there is something I also really appreciate when, like, a first date is just, like, at someone's house.
Damn, that's a hot take.
I know. But
stranger?
No, like, if you were, like, going on a date
with someone. Going on a date with a friend.
Or someone you've met. Or someone you, like, you know. Yeah, someone you're getting to know. And there's something, I've been on quite a few, like, just come over first dates, and they always go so well because there's so much less to navigate.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you're not having to, like, figure out who's paying, even order a drink. You just go over and they, like, have something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they're really being themselves because, like, you're in this, like, a safe home. And also I feel like with, like, queer and, like, trans people, like, there's a certain feeling I have that I'm sure you will relate to also, like, as a lesbian, like, that when you're with another lesbian, you're more clocky. Like, all of a sudden people can see you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I look trans just walking around the world for sure, but I don't feel super noticed unless I'm, like, with somebody else. And typically I date other, like, trans people or queer people. So, I don't know. I just feel like I'm navigating that also. Like, are we going to get
That's
service
so true,
here? Like, and I'm not saying people, like, kick us out or anything. But I don't know, a lot of small queers I know share the sentiment of it's, like, really hard to get service anywhere. People just kind of, like, look past you. And I know you relate to that, too. Like, we'll literally be, like, desperate to be seen, but we're, like, short and gay and just kind of, like, in straight spaces. Anyways, I'm going somewhere else with that. Yeah, I like an at-home first date.
I like what you're saying. I like the, like, there's no stress to, like, sit nicely in a restaurant or in a bar. And, like, you, like, how are the people also around me looking at me? Yes. Like, a lot of that is taken away.
And outfit, too. For an at-home first date, you go over in, like, comfy pants and, like, a big tee. And you get to, like, flop around on a bed and then, like, probably fuck.
That is really nice.
That's all the information I need for if we need a second date. Can we flop around and have sex with each other and, like, watch a piece of media we both enjoy? Other than that, like,
I think that would only work for me if this was somebody that I had, like, already spent a ton of time with. Because if I don't know you really well, I'm not going to flop around with you.
Wait, why though? Just flop around. It'd be crazy.
I think I also really like the idea of a first date and like the idea of like a structured date, because mm-hmm. I think that's like can be like a special moment potentially, and like
to, even
like,
if look it's back not, on.
Yeah, I mean whatever, and even if it's not, like, that's okay as well. But like, I just need to deal with you in the wild first. I don't know. I just
no, totally.
And also, I guess maybe I would feel okay going over to somebody else's house, but people being in my space is, like, really personal to me. Mm. So I certainly wouldn't just be like, just come to my room.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I hear what you're saying, and I agree with your argument for at-home dates. Mm-hmm. I think my perfect first date is, like, drinks. Mm-hmm. But only, like, one drink. I'm really – one drink. Mm-hmm. But then you have to kind of one drink, honestly, and then the person looks at me and goes, "Are you hungry?" And I go, "Yes, starving." And then after that, we go and get some delicious food. It doesn't have, like, something easy, dimly lit, something easy to split.
What kind of food?
I'm thinking, honestly, my ideal food would be like focaccia with a like amazing whipped ricotta dip.
Mm-hmm. Something you wouldn't be farting up a storm though. Mm,
that's so true.
I would say sushi restaurant, and I would get an avocado roll.
Okay, sure. We say let's go get one roll at the sushi restaurant. We're hungry. Okay.
Because most sushi restaurants are dimly lit.
No, you're right.
And have a little avocado roll that I can eat.
And at that place where we're having food, that is where we need to break the touch barrier. So you can sit on the same side of this, like, table as me, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's where we need to know. That is where we need to sense whether or not we can go home with each other.
Okay.
Because it's pretty scary to have no physical contact with someone at the end of the date because you've been sitting across each other at a table and then you decide to go home together and you're like, we haven't even touched. Mm. So you need to break that barrier. Okay. As you're having a little snack.
Okay.
If the vibes are good, let's go home together immediately, and I'd prefer to go to your place. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be real.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, yeah.
Me too, mostly because my room's messy.
So then we go back to your place. Immediately upon entering the door, I'm gonna need you to hand me a change of clothes. I'm gonna need sweatpants and a sweatshirt or a big tee. Mm-hmm. I wanna get comfortable immediately. Mm-hmm. At that point, we put on some music, and then we split a joint or, like, take a couple hits, mm-hmm. and then we can kind of giggle and do the roll around thing, and then we can hook up. And then I'm going home.
Interesting.
Okay. And I'm leaving right after.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. If I were to say a going out date, I would say I ate before.
Okay.
We get some drinks and then go home and fuck. And then I sleep over, and then we play and giggle in the morning.
You'd sleep over?
I mean, not like currently, like,
right, but imagine, but you were single.
If I was single, like,
you'd sleep over on a first date.
I love to. Did it with Ted. Slept over on the first date.
Yeah,
he offered that. That was so nice. He was like, I can either call you a car now or I can drive you home in the morning. And I was like, I would love to cuddle.
Wow. And you slept okay?
I sleep only really that well with other people.
Wow.
I love to sleep next to people. Like, I struggle sleeping alone. Mm-hmm. Like, there were several times, and, you know, I never did it, but I literally considered when I was single, like, asking my roommates to sleep in my bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just need a warm body. Mm-hmm. I need to, like, kind of cuddle, but more just, like, arm or leg on each other. Mm-hmm. The faces you're making are as though you are being stabbed. I'm talking about cuddling and you are looking
I like pained. To cuddle, but not with a stranger. My main thing is, like, if I'm asleep, that I'm at my most defenseless. Mm-hmm. And I don't fucking know you, but that is also a trauma thing for me.
Okay, so real.
Yeah.
So real.
Go on the dates that you want to go on. And if somebody sends you a date idea that sounds terrible, for example, if somebody said, I'd like to take you bowling on a first date, I would say delete my number.
You hate bowling. Just admit it.
On a first date.
Yeah. My nightmare date? What's my bowling? My nightmare date, like, activity is probably...
Would it be like an improv show?
No, I feel like I would like that. Because we could laugh at it together and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I could immediately figure out their humor.
That's true.
I feel like it would be... If they were like... I want to, like, go watch sports, like, at, like, mm-hmm. a sports bar. I'd be like, I won't come.
I also think you would not be happy if somebody asked you to go on, like, a long walk for a first date.
Depends on the weather.
Yeah, true. That's real.
It depends on the weather. I hate being cold. I have no issues with being hot.
Yeah.
So, I honestly love to roam. Like, I was thinking, like, maybe something athletic. But, like, if someone asked me on a hike, I'd be like, hell yeah, that sounds so fun.
My first thought is that's dangerous.
Why?
Because you're going to go into the woods on a first date with someone you don't know. I'm positive everyone's going to try to kill me.
Right.
The killer. And to be honest, a lot of people, like, go on dates with end up being the killer.
That's so true.
So.
That's so true. Dude, you know, Wendy Williams, you know, she always, like, references talks about the killer.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you can't go outside. That's where the killer is. That is so you.
That is so me. Yeah. That is
so you.
I'm like, can't sleep over. Might be a killer.
I definitely am too trusting.
Yeah.
But I also feel that I haven't encountered too many killers.
I hope everyone has a happy Valentine's Day. I hope none of you go bowling or have to go to a sports bar.
Yeah.
And I hope that if you're single, that you do something really nice for yourself.
Yeah. And if you want, ask for what you want from yes. your crush or your significant other. If you're, like, at a place where you're like, I really, really hope somebody gets me flowers, but you haven't asked for that, why don't you right now text them and say, hey, I know we're Valentine's, so I better be getting some flowers tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? There you go. That's so true. Love you guys. And just remember, we're your everyday Valentines.
Yeah, you're our Valentine this year. Do you want to kiss?
I'm celibate. But you can all go ahead and kiss Friday.
Yeah.
Don't get near me. If you see me on the street, don't get near
me. If you see me on the street, give me a gentle kiss, but first ask for my consent and introduce yourself.
First say, what do you like?
No!
Okay.
Head underwater, and they tell me to go easy for a while. Breathing gets harder, even I know that. Made room for me, it's too soon to see that I'm happy in your arms. Unusually hard to hold on to.
Okay, wait.
Blank stares at blank pages. No easy way to do or say this. You mean well, but you make this hard on me. I'm not gonna write you a love song, cause you asked for it, cause you need one. You see, I'm not gonna write you a love song, cause you tell me it's make or break in this. If you're on your way, I'm not gonna write you to stay. If all you have is leaving and I need a better reason to write you a love song today.
Yeah. Gay and They is a Fruit House production.
That was a good one.
Yay!
Happy Valentine's Day!